You're listening to The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. If you've lived in Illinois between 2011 and 2020 and uploaded a picture of your face to Facebook, then you may be eligible to file a claim and receive up to $400 from Facebook's settlement fund from a class action lawsuit. The largest privacy consumer settlement in our country's history was made by Facebook when the social media giant agreed to pay out $650 million to settle a lawsuit that alleged Facebook violated Illinois' biometric privacy law. Joining us today is Jay Adelson, who is a Chicago-based class action lawyer who represented Facebook users in the case against Facebook, and he'll talk to us today about who is eligible for collecting up to $400 and how to file a claim. Hello, Jay. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Really nice to be here.
Also with us today is Sarah Morrison, who's a reporter at Recode and Vox, covering personal data and privacy. Hello, Sarah. Welcome to The 21st. Thank you for being here.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Listeners, if you have a question about biometric privacy laws in Illinois or this particular class action against Facebook, please, the phone lines are open. The number is 800-222-9455. We'd love to hear from you at 800-222-9455. You can also tweet us at 21st Show. That's at 21st Show. So, Jay, before we get into the specifics of the $400 people might be able to get from the settlement fund, can you tell us about the case against Facebook? What are sort of the basic outlines of the case here?
Sure. So we filed a class action lawsuit about 5 years ago over Facebook's tag suggestions, which people who know Facebook are familiar with them. It's a nice feature in a lot of ways. It allows you to identify your friends and family. What we alleged in the complaint was that Facebook was doing something else along with that, which was they were capturing your face prints and they were amassing the largest database of face prints of biometric information in the world. There's an incredible law in Illinois which actually protects biometric information. The suit against Facebook was the first time anyone had sued under the law. And we fought for 5 years and ended up getting what we think is a fairly historic settlement.
Okay, so let's take a step back. And Sarah, maybe you can sort of talk about what exactly biometrics are. So, I mean, Facebook is not just taking our picture and having, people in a sweatshop somewhere scroll through all the other pictures trying to match, right? There's more technology going on. Can you talk a little bit about what's working behind the scenes at Facebook to make these face recognition happen?
Yeah, sure. So a biometric is defined in the Illinois law as a retina or iris scan, fingerprint, voice print, or scan of a hand or face geometry. And in this particular case, that means, not only do they collect, like the pictures of the faces, but there's also like algorithms and tech things, not actual people sort of, looking at the face and figuring out sort of like, taking like measurements. So I guess, just to sort of analyze the face so that it can also match it to other pictures of your face. So looking at like the distance between, your eyes and stuff like that, that can be used to then, recognize your face in other pictures, basically.
Oh, interesting. So like it has, and to put it in sort of human terms, I guess, okay, this person's eyes are 44 millimeters apart and they are at a 13 degree angle from the top of the nose bone and that sort of thing. And it just sort of makes this print, I guess, of your face?
Yeah, I mean, it's facial recognition, right? So it gets a various, recognizable sets of data from your face that could then use it to recognize your face and other things, yeah.
Okay. And so, Jay, can you talk a little bit about what Facebook specifically was doing then that was violating Illinois' biometric privacy law? Is it just storing this information? Is it getting it without explicit consent? Or what? Where in your allegations did Facebook go wrong?
Yeah, it's all of the above. So the statute doesn't prohibit companies from collecting or storing biometric information. It's a consent statute. It says if a company is going to do it, you've got to get express consent from your consumers. What we allege is that Facebook did not do that and was really trying to cover up what it was doing.
And I asked that question a little too close to our break. We do need to pause for a minute and a half here for our member stations. We will be back with more in this conversation on the 21st. Stay with us. Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We are speaking today about a settlement in a lawsuit, a class action lawsuit against Facebook. $650 million for the lawsuit. It was the settlement for the lawsuit alleging that Facebook violated Illinois' biometric privacy laws. We're joined today by Jay Edelson, who's a Chicago-based class action lawyer who represented Facebook users in the case, and Sarah Morrison, who's a reporter at Recode and Vox covering personal data and privacy. Before the break, I had asked about, you know, exactly what Facebook had done wrong. Let's turn now to the actual settlement itself. So, Jay, who is eligible to file a claim here and potentially receive a payment from this settlement?
Sure. So virtually all Illinois Facebook users are going to be able to participate in the settlement. Under the settlement, if you've been using Facebook since 2011, during that period, even if you're not using it now, but let's say in 2015, you used it for a year and then you stopped using it, so long as your photos were tagged and they ended up collecting this information, you're part of the settlement. Since they did that to virtually everybody, it's pretty safe to say if you're in Illinois, you've been using Facebook, you're part of the settlement, and you can file a claim.
And how can people go about filing that claim?
So we've timed it a few times. It takes under 75 seconds on average. It is the easiest claim form we've ever been involved in. There's a website, Facebook, BIPAClassAction.com. That's Facebook, B-I-P-A, ClassAction.com. You can also go to our website, www.edelson.com, which will take you right to the settlement website. And then you just click claim by November 23rd and you're off to the races.
Okay. By November 23rd is the deadline. And we'll have a link to that. We'll tweet out a link to that at 21st Show and on our website as well, 21stshow.org. Listeners, if you have questions about this settlement in particular or Illinois' biometric data privacy laws in general, the number to call is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. And Jay, one other question on this. When should people expect to see? I've read, you know, between 200 and 400. How is the amount of money people might get determined? And when should people expect to is it going to be a check in the mail or how's that going to work?
Sure. So the exact amount is going to be dependent on how many people file claims. So we, just based on our experience doing class actions, we believe that people get between $200 and $400. And seeing how many claims have come in so far, we think we're on track for that. So we think we can't guarantee it, but we think it's a safe assumption. In terms of how you get paid, it's kind of a cool feature of this settlement where you can, you've got some options. You can click that you want it by check, or you can get it, I believe, by PayPal or some other types of similar companies.
Interesting.
So you can get electronically or traditionally by check.
So what I hear you saying is maybe we shouldn't be doing this segment, and then, you know, just a handful of people can split up that $650 million.
Well, we've already gotten over a million claims.
Okay. Too late.
No,
for that.
It's a joke, and I understand, but the point of you know, working this hard for this type of settlement is to make sure that the class benefits. There are too many class actions where people don't actually get any money from it. This is kind of the ultimate counterexample, and we really want people to claim their money. We've been fighting our little butts off for 5 years, and we want to make sure that people get the money they're entitled to.
Okay, we got a caller on the line with a question, and it echoes a question we got from one of our frequent tweeters, Joel. So let's go to the phones now at 800-222-9455. Ursula in DeKalb, welcome to the 21st. What's your question?
Hi. So maybe it was a week ago or so, I did get a message within Facebook to go and fill out a form. And so I clicked on the link and I went to that link. And then that was it. So I wondered, what's the next step? Is that it? Or is there some kind of follow-up that needs to be done? Or what happens now?
Okay, Ursula, thanks for the question. Jay, do you want to take that?
That's it. And I don't know if Ursula's on the phone, but if so, I'd love to know how long that took her, because you know, we really want to get the message out. It's not a cumbersome process, but you fill it out, and then in terms of when people will get their money, we're back in court in January, where we're going to ask the court to give what's called final approval of the settlement, and assuming everything goes well, money will be paid out shortly after that.
Okay. You know, Sarah Morrison from Recode, I want to take a sort of a step back here and look more broadly at the biometric privacy issue. How much should people care about biometric privacy? What is at stake when it comes to companies tracking our biometric information?
Well, I mean, I guess it kind of depends on how much ownership you have over, or feel you have over, information about your own body and who you want or don't want to also have that. I think the big issue here and the thing that a lot of these, such as there are that many, laws address is not so much the collection of it, like Jay said, but your ability to consent to having it collected in the first place, right? So, you know, I think most people would want to know and have some say in their body, you know, information being collected and analyzed and potentially used against them, possibly, you know, in certain ways that, again, you don't always get to know about without these laws.
Is there like a personal information security risk here? I mean, when our phones or our banks take our face print or fingerprint, I mean, if the information, you know, the sort of biometric scan information is stolen, it's not like you can change that, like your password for your bank account. Is there a greater security risk, Sarah, do you see here from biometric information being increasingly used to unlock and access things?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that is the big issue, right? Is that a lot of things like passwords can be changed. Your face kind of can't. Your fingerprints really can't. So anything about that gets out there, that's out there and that's associated with you forever. There are some laws that don't have, you know, consent parts of them, you know, in other states that do actually address force businesses to try to make better security of the storage of that information that might address some of that. But, you know, I've never seen a perfect cybersecurity plan. I've never seen anything that can't possibly be hacked. So, yeah, that is a valid concern.
Yeah. Brian, could I add just a little bit to that?
Please, Jay, go ahead.
So I actually think that the collection of biometrics is much more concerning. And, you know, I don't want to put my tinfoil hat on, but if you actually look at where Silicon Valley is going, they're sprinting to the day where they're going to be able to track everywhere we are. And they're going to be able to do that in two ways, geolocation and biometrics. And we're seeing that more and more, that when people go and protest, when they're out in private stores, their faces are being captured by cameras and then checked against these databases. And that is a much different world to live in. It's also really scary for a lot of minorities, who the studies show the facial recognition software doesn't do a very good job in grabbing them, in trying to process who the people are. So there are a lot of really bad false positives where minorities are accused of doing certain things when they weren't all involved. So we think this is one of the two huge battlegrounds when it comes to privacy over the next 5 years.
And to put a finer,
if I could jump in there too,
please, sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
To say there also is a distinction here. The Illinois law is about businesses and what they can do. It doesn't regulate government agencies and public agencies and what they can do. There's kind of a lot less legally and around that. And a lot of times that's what we see in terms of like surveillance of, you know, law enforcement. Obviously they can and do buy private companies' databases and technology, but that's when we see people being falsely accused of crimes based on bad facial recognition that identified them, you know, inaccurately. And that's something that we don't have very much about and then very little protection for.
And Sarah, what Jay was talking about, I think there have been studies that show that for whatever reason, the technology behind facial recognition, the darker someone's skin pigmentation is, the harder time the software as it stands now has actually recognizing people. Have you reported on that as well?
I personally haven't. My colleague has, but from what I know about it, a lot of these things are tested on white faces, which doesn't help. Yeah. But there is certainly a lot of evidence out there and concern that they don't do as well a job, for minorities. And since some minorities seem to be disproportionately targeted by the police, that's an even greater issue that has much more impact.
Yeah. So Jay, I want to ask you, because Facebook isn't the only business that's violated Illinois' biometric privacy laws. In 2019, the Illinois Supreme Court ruled against Six Flags, the amusement park company, in a lawsuit over fingerprint scans. A teen's thumb was scanned when he bought a season pass, and neither he nor his parents were informed in writing why the thumbprint was collected, how long it would be stored. So, I mean, what as a consumer should someone do when they are asked to scan their face or a fingerprint, Jay?
So it's fair to ask what the company is actually going to be doing with that. And chances are if someone is scanning your face or they're scanning your finger, they're collecting it and they're going to take your biometrics and it's going to go in a database. And a lot of times we're seeing it's being disclosed to other third parties or being stored indefinitely. And you have a right under Illinois, specifically under this one statute in Illinois, to ask questions and get and make sure that you're giving informed consent. So people should fight for their rights.
But I mean, I'm imagining the teenager at Six Flags watching his friends, kind of run into the park and he's standing there like, is it realistic to expect people to make this, case? And I mean, would they deny themselves going to the amusement park with their friends? I mean, how do you see this playing out in the real world? And I mean, I guess this dovetails with something I wanted to ask about terms and conditions, right? Those of us who use Facebook, I'm sure, and Twitter and everything else have agreed to thousands of words in legal disclaimers that I would guess most of us haven't read, let alone understood. I mean, is there more that needs to be done in terms of these privacy laws? Are we signing away our rights in potential future cases like this by not, more closely trying to read or forcing these companies to have more understandable and simplified terms and conditions?
Yeah, it's a great question. Because privacy laws really are consent laws, the argument, as you suggest, is, well, companies can just throw it in the fine print and no one's going to read it. And it is true that most people don't read the terms and conditions. But what does happen, what studies show, is that there are people like reporters, like Sarah, bloggers who are out there who are reading every single time there's a privacy change to the terms and conditions of these large companies, and they put the information out. That is why these large companies are not actually putting in terms and conditions because they know it will get out there. It will be in Vox or New York Times or something. And a lot of times then they're forced to change their behavior. So no, we're not expecting consumers to start protesting at Six Flags or to stop and read every single word of terms and conditions, but just to be cognizant of this. And the last point I'll make is that the lawsuits that we've had, and when you hit Facebook with a $650 million settlement, that wakes up a lot of other companies too. So we know from speaking to in-house counsel at some of the big tech companies that they've abandoned plans to use facial recognition software in Illinois. And we've been really happy with that because we really think it's incredibly dangerous.
Okay. Well, this is such an interesting topic. I'm sure we will talk more about it again in the future. I want to thank Jay Edelson, who is a class action attorney who represented Facebook users in this case, and Sarah Morrison, who's a reporter at Recode and Vox covering personal data and privacy. Jay and Sarah, thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st.
Thanks so much.
And that is all the time we have for today. Before we go, I want to suggest you should join our texting group. Send the word TALK to 217-803-0730. You might have heard us use a number of those questions in our flu vaccine segment earlier today. The best way to get in on that conversation again is send the word TALK to 217-803-0730. The 21st is produced by Anna Casey and Ryan Wild. Eunice Alpasan's our engagement producer, and our interns are Zainab Qureshi, Brielle Skullark, and Chantal Vaca. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. We'll talk to you tomorrow.